Well, howdy folks, welcome to my daily teaching video. It is great to have you here. Today I'm in the city of Southport in the UK. Excuse the cafe around me here. You know, I actually like doing videos in cafes. They're noisy and somebody once said to me, why don't you go in a studio? I love to be around real people. Can I, in fact, let me tell you a dirty little secret nobody knows. It's not dirty, but it's sneaky. You know, often I'll be in a cafe like I am right now with my camera set up at a table, with a computer in front of me. For most people around me, it looks like I'm doing a Zoom call, but I'm not. I'm talking to you. But usually within about 5 minutes, people begin to notice and stop and stare and point. Now, usually anybody under about 30 immediately gets it. Like, he's a YouTuber, he's doing YouTube videos. And not every time, but most of the time when I finish a video, somebody will come and say, oh, you're on YouTube, what are you doing? What's your channel? They will literally, you know, get their phone out, check out my channel, and all kind of cool things there. And they ask me, what's my channel about, is always the next question. And I get to talk about Jesus. And then I get to recommend over 1,000 cool videos where I share the gospel with people. So that's one of the reasons I love doing it. I love being around people. But it's great to have you here with me. Hey, in a moment, I want to continue my study of my new book, The Spirit-Filled Life. And I'm going to share what I believe is actually a really important principle concerning that, and a kind of a new paradigm I believe we need to have about Holy Spirit. Before we do that, let me take 1 minute and give you some housekeeping things. Firstly, if you're new to my channel, it's great to have you here. I've got over 1 million subscribers now on YouTube. Hit the subscribe button if you're new here. Do sign up for our email newsletter, best way of keeping in touch with me. Next, I do have a brand new book out called The Spirit-Filled Life. Go figure. And it's available now on Amazon as paperback or Kindle, and I believe it would be a blessing to you. There'll be a link below, boom, and you can buy that. Hey, if you do buy that book, please do leave a review on Amazon. Say some nice things about it. It really does help the great algorithm in the sky to promote that book. And I'm in the UK. I'm going to be ministering in Liverpool tomorrow, in Manchester, Oldham, near Manchester, on Sunday morning with a great church there. I'm going to be in London on Tuesday, Wednesday, and back in the US on Friday. So love to connect with you if you're in the UK or watching this. Lastly, big thanks to all of the partners of my ministry as well. We love and appreciate you. Pray about becoming a partner. It is pretty cool. Boom. So I'm interested in exploring with you, a dramatic pause for coffee if you're just listening to the audio, what it means to be filled with Holy Spirit, what it means to live in personal revival, and as a result of that, in corporate revival. And probably like some of you, if you've been around this thing of ours, Christianity, for a while, you probably encountered different viewpoints, different, I would call them paradigms, that ways of thinking, ways of approaching this subject. And I'll be honest, I think there's a lot of confusion around this subject, particularly around corporate revival. You know, literally there are many churches who are never disappointed in their life in the Spirit and their walk in the Spirit, because they don't expect anything in the first place. A lot of the traditional kind of evangelical churches think Jesus was here on the earth, man, it was awesome. He died, he rose again, and gave us a book, and then went to heaven and left us with a book. And that we are here on the earth with a mission and a book. And they would literally see Holy Spirit as somebody who helps an evangelist convince people of the veracity or truthfulness of the gospel, but they're not expecting any miracles because they believe it's all passed away. They're not expecting the manifest presence of God. They expect it, but it's always one day in heaven. They're looking forward to a future hope, and so we should, by the way, but they're not expecting anything now, so they're not disappointed. You know, there's another group as well who, in a way, have this kind of erratic theory that God will occasionally when it pleases him in his sovereign will, come and just drop revival on a group or on a nation. People might look at things like the Welsh revival and say, wow, you know, God came and shook a nation by the power of the Spirit. I wonder if he'll ever do it again. And in that kind of theology, we sit around waiting at the proverbial bus stop for the next revival. You know, when is it due? I don't know, but hope it's in my lifetime. And there's that very kind of passive sense of things that comes when people major and overemphasize, and frankly, in an unbalanced way, unbiblically emphasize the sovereignty of God. Thirdly, there's a group of people I've been around for a bunch of time, and I really love these people, and they have a lot of good in the stream of Christianity. I would call it more that kind of revival stream, particularly these days, those who came out of the move of God in the 90s, like Toronto and Brownsville, and then afterwards Bethel and different things like that. Heidi Baker, Bill Johnson, again, love these people. I have a lot of time and honor and appreciation for that crowd, but that crowd, like, I'm about to say Mike Bickle, but maybe character-wise is not a good example, but he, you know, in that stream of people, teachers, there are great revivals that God has for us as people, but that we need to contend for them, we need to cry out for them, we need to pray for them. It's kind of like they're not all based on the sovereignty of God. We have something to do, and yet we're never quite sure what that something is, and are we doing enough of it? And there's this idea that if we can fill enough football stadiums full of people praying and begging, send revival, rend the heavens, that God will go, oh, okay, go on then, and release something. I'm not trying to be cute, but it's like this thing that's possible, but it's always out there, and it never quite seems to arrive. And in that stream of people, we're always looking on the spiritual map. Is revival happening somewhere? Ooh, you know, Asbury, let's all jump on a plane or a bus and go to the latest outpouring and try and catch some of it and bring it back. And I believe that is actually really unscriptural. And then there's lastly a group of people of whom I am the chief of sinners. Come on, I'm in this last group, who say, in a very real sense, we're not waiting for anything. In this last group, and I think this is the most biblical one, and I'm part of this group, they would say, God poured out his Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and he never took him back. God has literally, I don't want to say emptied heaven, but he's like, he poured out not a little measure, not a dab, not a one first century measure, and each subsequent century has to beg and plead for another. God poured out his Spirit on all flesh. The Holy Spirit is here now in his fullness. Hallelujah. And in that group, we would believe that we don't actually need to ask God for anything. That group would believe, as Paul did, that of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. In Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in him. In effect, I would believe that God's already given all the revivals that the world will ever need. He's already given all the power, all the presence. Everything is available to the believer. You know, in that one of those, the kind of sovereign reform group, they believe everything is on God, zero is on us. The revival group believe it's sort of a 50-50 thing. I believe God's done everything he's going to do, and that the limiting factor, the restriction, is actually us. We are the ones who are not moving. We are the ones who are not doing anything. We are the ones who are waiting for God when God is waiting for us. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Fiddler on the Roof, one of my favorite movies. I haven't actually seen it for years, but it's a great movie. And there's a time at the end of that movie when all of the Jews in, I believe it's a village in Ukraine, they're being thrown out in a pogrom, and some are going to America, some are going to, you know, different places, and these Jews are despondent, rightly so, because of the awful persecution they're going through, and they need to leave their homes. And one of the Jewish people says to the village rabbi, we've been praying for Messiah to come for thousands of years, and they're like, today would be a good day. Now, I was watching that once, and of course, as a believer, I want to cry out, you don't need to wait for Messiah. He's already come. And as I was just watching this movie thinking that, it's like God suddenly showed me a vision of a wall. It was like the Wailing Wall in Israel. And on one side of the Wailing Wall were all of these Jewish people in the kippahs, you know, praying, send Messiah, send Messiah, send Messiah. And of course, we want to, it's like the Lord came and wrote down on the wall, He's already come. But on the other side of the wall were all of these Pentecostal charismatics praying, send Holy Spirit, send Holy Spirit, send Holy Spirit. And then it's like God wrote on the other side of the wall, He's already come. I don't know if you catch that. It's just as foolish for Christians to wait for revival, Holy Spirit, as it is for Jews to wait for the Messiah. What Jewish people need to do is hear the word of God concerning the Messiah, believe it, and respond to it. What evangelicals need to do is to hear the word of God, believe in it, and respond to it concerning revival. And I passionately believe that. And I would also say that's been backed up by my experience. You know, quite literally 3 or 4 days ago, somebody came to see me in my office in America and told me they'd been waiting for years to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they were kind of saying, I don't know how long I'm going to wait, how long I have to tarry, or Pentecostals called it. And I was like, you don't have to wait 5 minutes. You can have it here and now. And I literally jumped out of my chair in my office and I said, we're going to pray with you. God's going to fill you right now. And you're going to start speaking in tongues right now. And I did, and they did, and he did. They got it. We don't need to wait. We're not waiting. Come on, let me finish with this. But Paul prays a great prayer in Ephesians 1, that it would behoove us to pray, but also to grasp the why of that prayer. In effect, in Ephesians 1, Paul prays, let me just paraphrase this for the sake of time, but Paul prays that God, not that God would give us more, rather, God would give us revelation of that which He's already given. I say that again. Paul prays not that God would give us more, comma, but rather that He would give us revelation of what He's already given to us. Yeah? And I think what we need to do is have the eyes of our inner man enlightened and opened, and the Lord wants to show us what we actually have. If you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have enough power in you and you alone to turn this world inside out and upside down. You're not waiting for more power. The power is resident in you, and you need to learn to release that power through action, through faith, through worship, through responding, through obedience to the Holy Spirit and other ways. And again, we will explore that together in the days to come, but I want to drop that thought in you. You already have all you need, Selah. Thanks for watching, guys. I'm going to be back on a Q&A session tomorrow. So if anybody wants to send me any questions, I'd be glad to jump into those. And my encouragement to you is the following. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, get baptized in the Holy Spirit today. Reach out to me. Reach out to somebody else who can help you. Get a Bible, get a book on the subject. It's not hard. He is here. He is available. But I want to suggest to you we change and shift our thinking on these things. Selah. Boom. Hey, pick up that book on Amazon and check out the links below. Sign up for our email newsletter. I'd love to hear from you. God bless.